I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope. And the Bulldog.
We gotta take a break. More coming up after this.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, there are four that I know of old sports games on TV tonight. One having just started. If we count this Yankees Red Sox playoff game that's been on already, it's more. It's going to be more. It's just like the count goes up. Bulldog, mm-hmm. The count is going up. I keep thinking of more channels, and basically every sports channel is showing old games, right?
Right, I think so.
This is a game you would like. This is a Yankees-Red Sox playoff game from the year you won.
So, 04, yeah.
2004, okay. Right. Extra innings, Derek Lowe is pitching. So, here are the ones I'm thinking of, though. In chronological order, tell me like your interest in these, like whatever, 1 to 10 or something. 5 o'clock, NBCSN, 2014, Kings Blackhawks, Game 7, Western Finals.
2.
1 to 10? Two out of 1 to 10?
4, maybe. I don't know. I watched. What's fun about that? I don't know what game in year. Well, it was the Blackhawks. Oh, when they beat. Kane scores that goal nobody knows he scored against Philly.
Yep.
Did they beat the Bruins the other time?
They did.
Yeah. We were watching that the
and
other
Tampa.
Night.
And Tampa.
Okay. Right. Okay. The Bruins series was on the other night, and it was game 6, and it was getting so late, and they were down. And I said to Owen, I'm like, I've got like Bickle in my head and Boland maybe. And I think we're going to get 2 goals here real quick. And, like, the Bruins are going to go, and their fans are going to go from extending the series to losing the cup in, like, 4 minutes. And that's and that was fun. So I don't know that I would not, but I think a 2 was a little harsh. Kings, Blackhawks, maybe a 5. I got to give that a 5.
This is an overtime game in Chicago. So that's on.
Okay.
At 7, we have the first ever matchup of the Manning brothers on the same station, NBCSN. Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. It's the 2006 Sunday night opener, Colts at Giants.
Don't care at all.
0? 1.
Wouldn't even turn it on. I don't know. I don't remember anything about it. And I don't. I have no. 2. 1. 0. 0. I don't. I'm no way I'm watching that game.
All right, so the lowest score possible for the first Manning Bowl. John Madden. You might hear John Madden on this game, but okay. 8 o'clock, Sabres-Capitals 2006, one of the MSG re-airs. It's 2005-06 all week.
7. I definitely want to watch this tonight. It's not the Washington game that we talked about this late last week, and this is a home game, and Taylor Pyatt gets a hat trick in this game. Should I be saying this? Am I spoiling it? Because I looked it up. The reason I did look it up is because last week I was thinking that maybe this game was Pominville's first game of the season, and that game is 10 days later than this one. That's the 27th of October. This game is on the 17th.
Yep.
Or November, excuse me. 27th of November, Pominville in Washington on a Sunday. You said that. We were working a Bills game. And he played his first game of that year, scored a goal, and just like went, you know, just became Jason Pominville, as we all know him. Pretty much like that started that night. This is not that game, but I definitely want to see it. They scored 8 goals.
They did.
Watching the game that was aired Friday night on MSG, which is a year after, which is, you know, 07, that Ranger game 5 mm-hmm. was on. Even though that game was sort of tough to watch in spots, like the Rangers really did a pretty good job of like sort of bottling it up. I'm loving watching this team again. Like, there's just so much talent, and it's really, really fun to watch. So it rates a 7 to me. I definitely would not want to miss this game tonight.
All right, we'll get back to them in a second. The fourth game is that ESPN is airing Monday Night Football games starting tonight for 5 straight Mondays. One of those games, maybe the fifth, is Dallas Bills from 2007. Tonight is Rams Chiefs from 2018 that ends 54-51. I did not watch this game the first time. If I think of it tonight, I will turn it on.
Uh-huh.
Because I missed it. I don't even know why, but I missed it and woke up to the score and felt terrible. 54-51. Maybe I didn't have many Rams or Chiefs going in my leagues, which probably meant I lost at least that week. So will you check this out? It's Tessitore and Booger McFarlane and Jason Witten. That's a problem.
That's not great. What did I give the Sabre game? A 7? I think I gotta go 6 here. I would want to see it. I also don't recollect. I think I was out maybe for dinner with my family for the front part of that game and watched some of it out in a restaurant and then didn't turn it on when I came home. But that kind of scoring in an NFL game, I think I would probably be curious enough to dip in there for a while and sit with it.
Yeah, I'd like it to a point. I have a tough time if the announcers don't work for me. Like, I'd much rather right. watch the worst Michaels Madden game than the best, almost the best, other guy's game. You know, I'd just rather listen to it. It's not active. I'm not staring at it. I'm walking around, or I'm reading, or yeah. doing something else. I want to hear it more than it is that I want to see it. So, back to the Sabres. Okay. So, this is not a playoff game tonight, but it'll be fun to watch. I looked up the box score, and did you see what I found?
No, I did not.
In this game, the always hilarious hockey thing where one guy gets a bunch of gets fighting major and misconduct penalties, and no one else gets a penalty.
Right.
That is always great. In this game, you have coincidental minors. Thomas Vanek is the Sabres player, and I think Chris Clark for Washington. This is in the middle of the game. And Brendan Witt for Washington gets 2-5-10 in game.
Yeah.
So that's probably hilarious,
yes.
right?
I did. I noticed that in the box score. I don't think it was earlier today, but at some point I looked at this game. Maybe it was when I mentioned and knew I'd made a mistake about this Palmerville thing that I just explained. I think I looked after the, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I took the time to find the box, and I saw, like, all these penalties. And what do you usually do when you see that? You're like, I'm looking for a corresponding, like, okay, well, who was that with?
Yep.
And, yeah, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
it's just him. He just went bananas. Yeah.
Is that great, or is that sort of disappointing because you feel like, you know, somebody should have stood up to him or something? No, I mean, that's stupid. Just if the guy wants to punch himself out of the game, let him.
Right.
That's what I say. So that happens in this game. And 05-06, so this came up when we talked to Paul. He mentioned Afinogenov from that season. Now, I was never the biggest Afinogenov fan, but he had his he had his critics, too, when I wasn't really too often one of them. He scored. Then I remembered, listening to Paul talk, he scored a goal in the playoffs that is one of my favorites. Now, it's been a long time since I had called this up. In the years right after that season, I would have been on YouTube once a month, just randomly thinking about it and listening to Bob Cole do the highlights or, you know, his broadcast from that series. That's the game in Ottawa, the 7-6 game, the game they win, game two, they lose 4, but game three, Dumont wins it. And I just want to say about this, I think that's a candidate for the most fun I've ever had, is that game. Because, like, you're already up in the series, and we're nervous, and it's a chance to really win, and we don't have that, so we're nervous. But you're also up. This Devils game from last week, I understand why it's famous. I'm not here to argue against it. It's different. because you're losing and you have to score. You have to win that game or else the season is over. This game three against Ottawa is like you're up two games at home. The Sabres are also never behind in that game. So it is the most relaxed you can be for a playoff game. And it was riveting and still important. Like, it was not nothing. It's not, not saying it was nothing. Of course, it was not nothing. But it's like the most, for me, and you know, you might disagree, but for me, it's like the most, it's just, it's peak. You're up in the series. You're in the building, if you were. Like, I was in the building. Mm-hmm. And all of it is just the highest possible score. You can't clinch the series. I guess maybe it's better if you can clinch the series. But whatever, you can't clinch, which means there's going to be another game. Like, still, it's even good. I don't know. Like, that's not the best point. But so Paul mentions this about a Finneganoff. I wanted to – I don't know if everybody remembers the goal. Like, it's not a winning goal or anything. Like, you – did
watching,
you –
I'm watching right now what you tweeted out, which is the highlights from the entire game.
Right.
So I don't know where this goal right. comes. It's 1-1 right now, and we're into the third period. So it's got to be – oh, here it is.
Okay, wait. I had Derek an hour ago just get that ready. And
okay.
And we ended up talking about Bolivia. So here is, this is 2.5 minutes from Bob Cole and Harry Neal. Of course, this is before he worked for the Sabres. Bob and Harry, CBC, Game 3, 2006 playoffs. Of course, you're only going to be able to hear this. You can watch it on YouTube for yourself, but here it is.
Had one good chance a moment ago. Now through the middle. Moved it up. The pass was good. Commonville shot it in. Goal! Heatley is on the puck and shot it around the net. Spezza over quickly with Albertson coming in. Spezza got it in there to the corner. Heatley and Albertson. Albertson shot. That was a decent shot. And Miller a better save. What a move he made to get inside. But he couldn't get the shot. Fisher, a tower of strength on the puck again. In behind the net it goes. Schaefer's with him. Schaefer's bodied onto the board. Neal dumping a high one in. Campbell was hit. Shot is deflected off the leg and all the way out. In front is Hesch. Cutting for the net. A little low shot. Was kicked out by Emery. Kept in by Buffalo. A little bit of pressure on to start the third. In behind the net. Out front again. No shot. Knocked down by Emery. A big save. And the puck comes back out over the line. And if they don't score now, they'll never score. Passed in. Close to Spezza. Looks out. Now puts in. There's Redden. Shot. Block. Missed. Score. They got the goal. It was Spezza who was open and put it in. And this crowd doesn't like that second penalty call. And go down 3-0 to this team. Buffalo in. A great goal. Knocked it in there again. Hesch centered. Got a pass. Score! Albertson, the captain, brings it in. Hangs on. Albertson moved it up off the boards behind the net. He knew Heatley would be over here, and he centered it. And now the goalie is out at the other end. Here comes a shot. Score! Papier took the shot from the blue line. And it hit something in front. And the game is tied with a minute and a half left. And Tillander is back up the ice, and he's going hard. Tillander, Andy Fan on it, rebound! And it's stopped by Emery! What a chance for Buffalo! Greer fell, got back up. Tillander coming out for Buffalo, through the middle of the pass, high. Cut down, Hoffier fell. Here's Plant, coming in. The pass gets over, and the shot,
the single best thing on YouTube, which has over more than 1,000 things. There are more than 1,000 things on YouTube. This is the single best thing. Could you follow it? I mean, you were looking at it, too.
I was a little ahead. So I'd finished up by, like, I don't know, like 30 seconds into that. I was already done because I was looking at it while we were talking. And that helped a lot. It's funny. I mean, you just don't remember stuff. Okay, I don't remember how late Ottawa tied it until I watched that. I don't remember that Max goal. It's fantastic.
It is. It's the best.
And you know, you remember the end, you know? You know, I remember Dumont having to glove the pass down and put it down, and like it still was sort of bouncing. That's why it was like such a like a maybe a tough shot to handle as it was knuckling. So I remember the end, but the rest of it, I don't really remember. Like, you know, so I'm enjoying that part of all this is like remembering really cool pockets inside the games. And like Max, you said it already. Like, you know, you were never like a super big Max fan, but nor were you critical.
I was kind of down the middle on Max.
I think I was pretty critical. And watching him play, you know, again, this was last on Friday night, the Ranger series from a year after the one that we just listened to. He was so good in that game. And I know there's like stuff, if I were living through an 80 game season of him, there would be stuff that would probably drive me nuts again. But man, was he ever fun to watch. He really was. And I don't think I appreciated him. I think I was more focused on whatever his shortcomings were than enjoying whatever the fruit was, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm enjoying that too, like looking back and seeing him play. And it's one of the reasons why I would want to watch almost any game from this era. I want to see the players, and he's right up at the top of the list.
Yeah, absolutely. So that game, it just works for me as well as any game. It's not the Carolina series where you know they lose. And they're down in that series, you know, they're down after game five at least. So game six is great. And I heard Jason Pominville on Friday talk about the building in that 2.5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
How about that? Like a couple of the goal horn is clipped all three times because it's a montage, but still, like, holy cow, the building booing after the Senators score.
Yeah. Right. It's
It's so good. And now it's just like it's been the complete opposite. You just don't have that at all now. So the point Pominville made about the building, like that game against Carolina, game six, they still don't win. Like, it's just, you know the outcome now, and it changes it for me. But this, you know, this is en route to one of the most satisfying playoff wins they've ever had. I mean, that I would say it's as high as any. I mean, what outranks beating Ottawa in 06? In Sabres history, a few might. I mean, the Leafs in 99, and a few might. But that's way up there for me, because that was just such a popular team and so good.
Yeah, and Ottawa had owned them.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did a number. I mean, Marty wrote today about this week of games, because they're all from this season, Marty Baran, and I found it on Twitter. I'm sure it's at sabres.com. And like he wrote about how the Miller got hurt in a practice or a game day skate, and then he had to play, and it was terrible. He got pulled and then went back in because Nornan didn't do any better.
10-4.
And it's a game day, 10-4, right. Four goals each for, I think it's Hossa and Alfredsson?
I think it's Havlat and Alfredsson.
Havlat. Yeah, you're right. It is Havlat. And, like, it's, you know.
When does that
happen? Ottawa's just a monster. And, you know. To beat them like that in the playoffs was, it's a pretty tough score to beat, you know? I think it definitely rates, if not at the very top, it's very high.
Thank goodness Hasek couldn't make it for those games, you know? I mean, so that game three, I just love it. Well, tonight is a November game against Washington on MSG, and I'm sure it'll be fun.
I'm curious what we see crowd-wise, because it's early enough in the season here. It's the 17th of November. They're not yet, you know, they're not rolling at all, really, yet. They don't get really going until late, you know, almost, you know,
that's
shortly
right
after this game.
No, that's right. They go into this game 9-9, and it's still, like, it's okay. It's fun to have it back, but it's not a story yet. And for me, this is the year, like a lot of fans, we got in on the season tickets, but we did not get in until late December. Our first game was not until late December against the Islanders.
Right.
So I was not at this game, and I was not in the season ticket club yet. So I don't know. Like, maybe – I remember going to the opener, which was not a great crowd. It was all right. People were mad at them. People were mad at the NHL. It was, thank you, fans, is probably written on the ice tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
I would think. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking to see here in the box whether they have a
I don't have it.
Yeah, I don't I'm not finding it either. And not like it would, I don't know how much of an indicator it'll be, because, you know, they wouldn't necessarily tell you how many people were actually in the building. But, yeah, I'm curious about that because, like I said, I remember this Carolina game from around the same time of the season, like close enough, like it's November, and being there, and it was just, like, not a great scene yet. It just did not, it didn't feel like.
Is that Vanek's first goal?
The Carolina game?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
All right, I'll look that up. Well, I'll look that up before, you know, during the break. No,
I've got the box right here. Yeah, his first goal of the year, so that would be his first, yeah. Third period of that game, that Carolina game.
They lose, right?
Yes, they lost the game 5-3.
Okay.
That is not the game they're showing tonight, so I'll stop.
No, that is not the game they're showing tonight.
I'll stop talking about it. They're not showing a random 5-3 loss.
Unless Carolina, their provider is showing it.
Right. We get to July, and maybe this game gets aired then.
Maybe.
That'll happen then.
All right, take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm here once again this time around to talk to you about Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Look, we all know we're living through an extraordinary time here. Things have changed a lot. And as you hunker down, stop the spread of the virus, life does continue around. I've been in the park here. I live near Delaware Park. I've been in the park, and there's lots of evidence when the weather's nice of families out exercising. That's kids on bicycles, parents on bicycles, people jogging, whatever. And with that kind of activity, especially starting up here after the winter, the risk of you or a family member ending up with a strain, sprain, or break could be elevated. Well, at a time like now, Excelsior wants to emphasize that they think it's important that you come see them and not go to a general urgent care center or even the hospital ER, because doctors and nurses at those facilities are focusing on care of folks who may be battling the virus or other serious health conditions. So you can take some of that pressure off of those caregivers by counting on Excelsior Orthopedics Express when you got injuries to your muscles, bones, or joints. Excelsior Orthopedics Express, their urgent care is designed exclusively for those types of injuries, muscles, bones, and joints. So you can come in, see a specialist, and walk out with everything you need in just one stop. Imaging, casting, splints, you name it. Excelsior Express is open evenings and weekends at their Sheridan Drive in Amherst location and weekdays in Orchard Park in Niagara Falls. You want to reserve a spot? You can call ahead at 250-9999. It's Excelsior Express.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The 06 series, expectations weren't as high. I think the buildup kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I mean, we obviously had a good team, but no one expected much. So it kind of made it even better. If I were to pick a year where I think our chance to win was better, I would probably say 06. But the 07 series, the Islanders had made a couple moves as well at the deadline. They picked up Ryan Smith, Marc-Andre Bergeron. I mean, they added a few pieces to their team. They were a pretty solid little team. But I think everyone in Buffalo just expected us to win. It was almost as if like everyone was waiting for the conference final and then things were going to get interested.
Jason Pominville on WGR Friday morning. Again, MSG and the Sabres will relive some games from 2005-06 this week, beginning tonight at 8 on MSG. We'll do our little part of some of that too. playing 2.5 minute montages and talking about their choices and whatever else. One thing, like, I saw today that Ed Reed was trending on Twitter, and I've now gotten accustomed to this and guessed correctly why. It's really because people are just out there ranking things to pass the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now
greatest
I see, like,
all-time safeties.
Sure, yeah.
Right.
Now I see Ed Reed. I'm like, oh, he's being mentioned in rankings. That's probably it.
Right.
I'll still click just to make sure there's nothing bad or that he didn't say something that whoever it is say something, you know, horrendous about the situation. But it's usually just, you know, oh, okay.
Right.
We're ranking safeties now. Somebody thought, let's throw that out.
I did see that earlier today. That's why I was ready with that guess.
Yep.
Like, okay, who are the best safeties? I'm like, okay, Ronnie Lott, everybody else. I don't know.
You tell me. I don't know who is the best safety.
Go ahead, make a list. I'll see if I can poke holes in it or not. But
let me guess. He was on a really good team, so that's why you know he was good. That's who we're talking. Whoever it is, I loved Ed Reed though. I loved that he was up here there for a while as a coach. That guy was great. I agree with everybody saying that. I hate to be so agreeable. I try to avoid it.
There was a breakdown. Maybe you remember it. During when NFL Network, they had, you know, counting down all the top players, and they had those shows, and the panels were there, and Belichick was a part of that. And he showed a clip of Reed tricking Peyton Manning about something in a playoff game. And, like, that alone, like look, if Bill Belichick did a feature like that on something that some other player did, and maybe I would marvel at it just as much. So, you know, I'm sure lots of other guys have done, you know, really cool things. But the detail involved in the explanation of what he did to Manning there was, like, to me, next level stuff. It was just fantastic. And I already thought a lot of Ed Reed as a player. Like, I don't know, he wasn't the first guy I thought of when I saw who are the best safeties of all time. I thought of Ronnie Lott, and then I kind of just stopped thinking about it. But, man, that like, couple of minutes of Belichick describing just what a thorough, prepared player Ed Reed was, really, it was impressive.
Belichick is great when he's talking like that. It's partly because you just don't often get him doing it. But there's so much in there. It's one thing about, speaking of that, actually, I just remember this. I'll start with this. Did you see Sean Payton on Twitter last night?
I did not.
All right, so here I am saying, don't go on Twitter. But Sean Payton last night was describing plays. Like somebody, I think he must have been somebody that he knew. It was a coach somewhere, maybe a high school or college coach. Just one of these topics, you know, like a play that you remember or something. Mm-hmm. And Payton started naming their plays and showed a diagram of them and, like, explaining it. And that's so great. And I read some of the comments, too, and somebody mentioned, like, New England is probably taking notes, whatever. You know, so be it. That's the thing. Like, football, you never get that. You just almost never get the description. Like, that kind, you and I both, lots of fans love that sort of detail and knowing sort of the game within the game, and they try so hard to keep that from fans. Mm-hmm. Like, they would just hate for anything like that to ever get out. McDermott couldn't tell you anything from, like, months ago because, like, I don't know, maybe next year we'll play them, you know? Like, he can't tell you anything. And it would be such a richer experience as a fan. I know why they do that. But still, like, it's so much better when coaches, like, will just tell you. And, you know, couldn't they get away with doing that more often? I mean, Sean Payton's comfortable enough in his own skin to show these plays. I don't know. He said they name it was something. I don't know if it was formations or something. They named something after sandwiches or sandwich shops. So they had a Quiznos play. Like, some Quiznos means something in the Saints lexicon. Like, it's just great to know that stuff when you get to find out.
Right.
And, you know, like Belichick and Ed Reed, they'll do that to you. They'll do that for you. It's just going to be 10 years later.
Right, right. Everyone's, well, Belichick's not retired, but Ed Reed's retired. And for folks who didn't see it and don't know what, I'll just try to, and you can maybe correct me if I get any of this wrong, but just real quick. Like, basically, it's through film study, Ed Reed notices in a certain kind of coverage against a certain set of receivers, if the safety turns to his left, let's just say, Manning, like, almost 100% of the time on film, will then go to the play, to the other side with the ball.
Yep,
it's a pretty, you know, that's not that shocking, right? I mean, a lot of film study might give you that. But what Reed does on this play that Belichick described and highlighted is he knew that. So the chess game was, I'm gonna give him this look, and then I'm just gonna run to the spot where I know he's gonna throw the ball. And that's basically what he did. He baited him into, I'm going the wrong way, so you're going to throw it over there, and guess what? I'm going to be there because this is all a trick. And I just thought that was so, so cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is great. So,
I feel like Micah Hyde told us he did that to Brady at some point.
His interception in the end zone, maybe?
Yeah. I think... that, and we weren't doing a show with him, but I think this past year it came up or something, and I think he gave us a similar type of, like, that he knew that he could sort of hide from Brady, or like trick him into thinking he wasn't going to be where he ended up, and he threw it right to him.
Yeah, that was a great play. I'm not sure we'll have Micah Hyde on soon. Hopefully we will. He had that softball game
right. That
he was going to come back on and promote. I don't know if that's probably on hold, at least. Everything is.
Yeah.
If there's a thing, it's probably on hold. Good luck to these kids like your son, Owen, and like even my daughter, who's much younger. They love their sports and it's important to them. And like in Owen's case, he has pro aspirations, and like this is just such a critical time for that. And he's not getting, you know, neither is anyone else, sort of
right. That
experience. And in more than one way, you know, the experience of doing it, which is going to be like you'd remember it forever, these months leading up to that draft, or playing wherever he'd be playing, some new location maybe. And then also, of course, the playing experience that could be of value. So
there's a lot of people that are going through that at all different levels of sports, for sure. Like, you know, this is tryout season.
Right.
You know, and so that's not happening. So there's all kinds of uncertainty about where, you know, where you're going to be when the music stops and all that. So I think a lot of people are, you know, there's managing your kids if they are that athletic and that into it. Whereas, you know, like for Owen, it's kind of 5 days a week, almost, almost year round. And so it's been 2 weeks ago today was the last. He had a nice time 2 weeks ago today, and that was supposed to be all week, and they said after Monday, like, we're done. The rink is closed. We can't do it. So that was the end of that. So I don't know that he's had this much time off the ice in 5 years, you know, like consecutively. So there's a lot of energy that you're used to expending that is all sort of cooped up. Today I was watching him. He was out watching him. I knew he was going out there, and I was just curious because, you know, we used to watch, and I said, I think late last week, the church parking lot's getting a workout. There's a whole group of kids out there with parents, and there's roller hockey and bicycles and scooters, and it's kind of cool. And, you know, we, of course, did that ourselves when the kids were little. Today he was out there doing squats and sprints in the church parking lot. I'm just like, it's come to this. Like, this is where we're at for training. Really something.
Quickly, whose word are you then waiting on? Is it the NHL? Is it the NHL for, like, are leagues waiting on the NHL, or do they not need the NHL?
I don't think they need the NHL. Like, leagues are, the junior leagues, in fact, one of Owen's teammates, Walter Zacher, it was just on Twitter, signed with a team in the Alberta Junior Hockey League, which is, maybe people might remember it, that's where the Humboldt Broncos played, and they had that awful tragedy back in 2018. So one of his guys just signed a you know, agreed, like, that's where he's going next year. Another guy on the team is gone. Like, teams are still doing business. We've been getting contacted by teams in the Central Canadian Hockey League, which is based around Ottawa.
That's
so
not Central Central Canada, though.
Right. I don't know what it's...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure you're right. It's just like, they shouldn't call it that. Central, I mean, they shouldn't call it that.
I think that's what the C stand. I think it's CCHL. I think it, whatever. Anyway, so teams are still doing that, but, like, we can't, like, for instance, if we wanted to go visit there to see how it is, we can't do that right now. Like, so that's on hold.
Right.
You know?
Certainly, you know, across the border.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think these teams are waiting for the NHL, but, you know, they're waiting for it to be safe, you know. He's got stuff that's on the schedule for, like, these showcases that might lead to an opportunity with one of these teams. And all that stuff is, you know, like everything else in sports, it's on hold. Like, I don't know, we're going to be playing hockey in Boston in June? I kind of doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's out there. So, I think these leagues, I think, don't necessarily need for the NHL to solve whatever problem they've got or figure out their schedule. I think they'll just go about their business. Like, they're signing players, and when they get an all clear, hopefully by the fall, like, I think they'll probably just start up like normal.
Well, good luck. I mean, all these kids, my daughter has hockey and baseball, and of course, like, thousands of other kids in the area, millions everywhere, just it's all not happening. So, but if you have, like, either way, whether you just do it for fun or you really have some serious aspirations, this is a tough one. I like hearing that Owen's out there working anyway. You know,
yes.
It doesn't surprise me. We'll take a timeout, come back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening today. We'll have football and hockey for you next hour. Jack Eichel did media today. By the looks of it, did great. You know, I only mean by that, as we'll explain coming up, just that I think he's sending the right messages, you know, the ones we're all hearing. And most of us subscribing to. I saw some numbers today about how many more people are making these adjustments, staying inside and so on, staying home in the last couple of weeks. It's staggering. So it gives me confidence, and it's inspiring to see so many people make these sort of sacrifices. So we'll hear from Paul Hamilton on Eichel and the 0506 Sabres, which are being featured this week, who are being featured this week on MSG. Also Sal Capaccio next hour as well. Bulldog, which kicker should I want in my dynasty startup draft? Who would be your number one kicker to draft?
Who's the Chiefs guy?
Harrison Butker.
Sure.
That's the one?
Even with the funny name. Yeah. Well,
kind of young.
I guess I'm thinking about a high-scoring team. I guess that cuts both ways. If a team scores lots of touchdowns, they ain't kicking as many field goals. But whatever. They're going to move the ball. I think having a guy on one of the highest-scoring teams in the league is probably a good idea.
How about Zuerlein to Dallas? So I was looking up Zuerlein, who was the Rams kicker, and his percentages dropped way off last year, so it cooled me on him. Greg the Leg.
Yep.
So I'll let you know what happens.
I wouldn't bother with him. I never liked the nickname.
Justin, like, Tucker?
Like, who are you? You're the Leg? Shut up.
Yeah, you're the Leg? Don't we all have legs?
Come on.
Justin Tucker, they go for two a lot. They go on fourth down a lot. That's field goal opportunities.
Right.
That's extra points.
Right. Yeah.
It's close. Maybe New Orleans, but does New Orleans have to stay so high scoring forever? I don't know. It's close.
Yeah. And I haven't looked at my rankings yet. So I don't,
no. Yeah, I should have prepared you.
I mean, I feel like you're asking me to just fly blind on that.
I should have had you get them from your downstairs, from your desk.
No, I have them. Here, I found them. No. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. These are lyrics to a Rancid song. Okay,
who hasn't made that mistake?
Right. I mean, if I had a dollar.
Paul Hamilton after this on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.